Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
It's dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of butts over there.
Oh, would I like to have felt you just once.
It's dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
111.
Oh, come on, let's get moving. Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Humma, 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 humma. Ed Norton.
Ha, ha. Watch this.
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bensonhurst Bombers, and all you... It's a recorder of the world. You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats. Yeah.
Oh, go. Okay. It's been so long. I don't know what to do here. Yeah. I'm waiting for you. So tall and slim.
Yeah. I don't have that.
Good.
For now. If you don't have anything.
I got one. Of course I do.
Go for it.
I had 4 months to prepare one.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Norton. I will now count the ballots. 1 for Cramden. 2 for Cramden. 3 for Cramden.
It's a landslide.
1 for McGillicuddy. 2 for McGillicuddy. 3 for McGillicuddy. I will now read the deciding vote. The deciding vote is McGillicuddy. Sorry, Michael. I had to do that one without you.
The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as Cedar Knolls, New Jersey. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and leave a positive review, and we will read them. The home base is still non-productive.com/honeymooners. And also, you can watch and listen to every show on the non-productive YouTube channel. Don't forget to like the Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page and our Facebook group on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter at Honeymooner1. And I don't know if we could still do the voicemail. I got to find out.
Okay, we'll find that out.
628-400-7741. That's right. And if you want to email us, it's honeymoonerspodcast@aol.com. Ha ha, aren't they ancient? And Lou, this is episode 142. Two. 4 months now?
Yes.
Is it 4 months?
I think it's 4 months, because somebody said July was the last.
July 11th, I think, was the last one.
Oh,
so
God.
We're actually, October, today is the 10th.
Today's the 10th.
Yeah. So it's almost four months.
Yes.
And we are in the new non-productive studios, a.k.a. Louis' flat. We are in Louis' flat, and this has been a long time coming.
Yeah.
But it's going to be really, really cool. Look, it's going to take us a little bit to get through, because we're in a studio, basically,
yeah.
It's not all
my family room.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like, it's almost, if you want to be corny, it's almost like your man cave in a way.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You know, you have the TVs down here, the nice couches.
I got a refrigerator.
Two-tone kitchen.
Two-tone kitchen.
But... and actually, I'm just double checking to see how the sounds look. And you just say something?
I'll say something.
You could say something. All right. That sounds good. But yeah, so now everything is compact now.
Yep.
We have our one little computer.
Yep.
And this little board, it's the size of basically a large iPhone.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all the wires going in it and the plugs and the microphones and the headphones. And This is going to be great. Oh. Once we really get comfortable, it's going to be great.
And I really like to drive.
No, we just downstairs. Have to walk downstairs.
And Cedar Knolls doesn't sound as like sexy as Clifton, New Jersey.
I mean, we got the extra syllables and all that, but Cedar Knolls, New Jersey.
Small town. You go on TripAdvisor, look for restaurants in Cedar Knolls. 7-Eleven's rated third. So it's under restaurants.
So it's and look, it's been and we appreciate it because. Like, not only do you guys and girls support us, but you, like, were saying, whoa, when's the next podcast?
Yes.
You know? And, you know, Louis kept saying, hey, listen, we got to keep them, you know, keep them, remind them. Right.
We're afraid we're going to lose people. Yeah, that's what we did not want to do.
Yeah, we don't want to lose you guys.
We don't want to lose you guys. You don't want to lose
her. I don't want to lose her. You guys are such good cooks. So we just said, you know, and we worked out... you know, when we did the 141 and a half.
Yes.
We did that here with Frank, and then we decided to go with this system, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's just the first couple episodes will be a little, you know.
We'll our feelers out there.
But more of the technical issues.
Yeah, it's going to be technical.
You know, it's more or less.
Doesn't involve me.
Yeah, because I'm so good. I've been historically so good on the computer with the sounds. Like, you guys aren't even going to notice that I'm screwing up all the time with this, with the new system here.
Part of our MO.
And that's weird. Yeah. The computer died again.
Again? Oh.
I don't know if it's. Is that plug working?
I see it. Plug in a wall? That's it.
Maybe. You want to start it up again?
The light is on.
This one here?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm...
The light's on.
Oh. The light's on. But nobody's home.
Nobody's home. Oh, yeah. Got plenty of... Oh, there we go.
Oop. There we go.
Got plenty of light and everything.
That's the great thing. I was sitting there. I forgot what it was like in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, because when I make my videos at home, I have like one of those lights that is very bright that comes on. And then I'm looking, I'm like, the lighting in here,
it's
even better than at Ralph's house when Alice was there with Tony Amico.
Tony Amico, yeah. We have plenty of light and everything.
Plenty of light.
25 watt bulb.
plenty of light. So let me see. Here we go. So you know what? It's been so long since we've actually done an actual show.
Yeah.
But so what are we going to start with? Do we start with our sponsor?
Like all the sponsors, yeah.
Right? Okay. So I'm going to go with, let's get this. Come on now. Here we go. All right. So let me see. I keep forgetting. I got the screen here. There we go.
Here we go.
So
we have a touch screen now. Fancy.
We're going to talk about our sponsor, which you guys, if you remember, it was Silk City Hot Sauce.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And of course, Silk City Hot Sauce, the best hot sauce on the planet.
On the planet.
A fellow raccoon. But if you go on silkcityhotsauce.com, get your hot sauce, all different packages, right? Here we go.
Let's see if this works.
Let's see if we can do this.
Everybody, this is what people wait for anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they turn us off.
Okay. And so what happens is when you go, you pick out your packages, you get your hot sauce, and then you go to the checkout counter. And when there's a coupon code somewhere in the middle of the place, and if you put these two letters... In the coupon code, you put two letters, and those two letters are?
RX.
Ooh, all right. It worked. Really? Wow. Oh, my God.
I'm actually going to bring it up just a little bit.
A little bit. RX. And if you do RX, you get a 15%
percentage
on your order, and you get a free bottle of?
Cherry Sriracha. Cherry Sriracha.
Sorry.
There we go. All right. It's going to be a little bit. It's going to be a little bit, folks. All right.
Bear with us.
You wanted us to get on the air right away. 4 months later. This is what you're going to get. This is what you get. But so let's kind of get right back into it a little bit. Because 141 back in the day was our last raccoon, full-grown nut of the week. And that was Bob the Beast Stanley. And, you know, what a great competitor.
Oh,
you know, just one of those guys, you know. Once we saw him, you just, you know, you didn't want to, you know, he just made his mark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Bob Stanley, 4 months ago, sent me the email. It said, thank you very much for this esteemed honor. Agnes was against it, but joining the Raccoons was one of the best decisions I ever made. I did promise that I would not take any further advice from Ralph, but despite all my efforts trying to make it up with my wife, deep down inside, she will always look at me as a beast. That's a great, it's a great acceptance speech. So what we got to do is go to our next thing, which, let me see if I can do this. Let me go. I keep forgetting I can use the screen here.
Yeah.
And
Joe's zipping the modern way.
Zipping the modern way. Where is it? Flub of the Week? No.
That's not it.
One and done. The Ron Albanese 2, please.
I got one.
Oh, wait a minute. Duh. Now I know why. I was in the wrong folder.
Oh, here we go.
Full Grown Nuts. And here, where is it?
Having a hey, 495.
There we go.
Okay. That's it.
Haven't heard his voice in a while.
Oh, gosh. Listen to this.
Verily, the Honeymooners podcast makes the Full Grown Nut of the Week. Aren't you lucky?
It gives me real pleasure to present to you never gets this old. Award.
This never, ever, ever gets old. Charles Borzelleri. Yes.
Charles.
And we met Charles.
We met Charles at the Met game.
At the Met game, which is something that we definitely got to talk about.
Yeah.
But Charles, great guy.
Oh, fantastic.
Funny. On and
funny,
offline,
funny, yeah.
You know, funny, hey, funny. And, you know, I think he knew when we met
him. Oh, he knows. He
yeah,
knows.
Yeah,
I don't know
for
if
sure.
Corn Stormer used the Ouija board, but he knows.
He knows. I think he knew that he was going to be. I think because it Louis, he slipped a little bit. I heard Louis say something like this to Charles.
He always looked like some kind of nut to me.
With my mouth full.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I said, I'm like, Charles, you are a great guy, and...
you are a stupid head.
And perfect, here you go, right there. He looks some kind of nut, and he's a stupid head. He's
I mean,
like,
yeah, really. I mean,
like spill the beans right now.
Yeah, I mean, did we even have to ask this question?
Is this the man who got the award?
And, of course, the answer is yes.
Yes.
Charles, welcome to the fraternity, of course. And what a good guy. But you know what? We because we haven't done a podcast. Yeah. A bunch of us got together at Citi Field when the Mets were still somewhat playing decent, but not really.
And not that day.
But that was so much fun.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
What a beautiful day. We all ended up sitting near each other, right near each other.
Yeah.
It was me, you, Wendy, my wife.
Your wife.
Yes, my wife. Steve, his wife.
Carla.
His wife.
His
Carla.
Wife. Carla.
Carla. Charles. Rob Land.
Rob Land.
My friend Chris Iverone.
Chris was there.
Chris was there. Yep, absolutely. I'm trying to think. There were a couple more. I'm blanking out here. Lou DeAngelis, of course.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. That, Lou... what it was so much fun. There were a couple more people. I'm blanking out. Yeah. If I think of it, I'll let you guys know. But it was such a great time.
Oh, great time
for us to all kind of hang out.
Yeah,
and just watch a game, and then but just like you know have some fun. We hung out before
the game was a lot of fun.
I actually had a couple of glasses of grape juice.
Yes,
grape juice.
Also grape juice.
You know, a little bit of grape juice. And. It was just a fun time, and we definitely want to do something like that again. I don't know if it'll be before March 22nd, 2026, which is the next Honeymooners Raccoon Convention, which Dino already told me there's already tickets sold.
Oh, okay.
There's already tickets sold. There were like two tickets sold a week after we announced it. I'm like, these guys are crazy. Absolutely insane. But yeah, that was so much fun. And then last week or week and a half ago was October 1st.
Yes.
We put out a video because we were here and talking about the 70th anniversary of the premiere of the Classic 39 on CBS. Mm-hmm. October 1st, 1955.
TV or not TV?
TV or not TV. It's really, it's unbelievable. Because if you think about it, how many shows from the, let's just say, early to mid-50s are still relevant today as much? I mean, you have what? I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy maybe it would be the only thing close to it. I mean, you occasionally see other things because there's so many channels on now with these.
Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely. And,
but for the most part, there's nothing.
I think it's just them.
Yep.
I think it's pretty much them. And
I think on a continuous basis.
Yes.
I mean, you see like Abbott and Costello and
absolutely.
Love that on the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I mean, but they were all, you know, they were all so influential. Yeah. But to be relevant even in today's standards, I think it's I Love Lucy and Honeymooners.
Probably.
I think that's it. And I think the reason why I Love Lucy is because of the iconic thing about her being that first female that was really the center
of it.
And I know you're not a big I Love Lucy fan.
No, I'm not.
But you can see why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the Honeymooners comes around, at least in that form, you know, in the 39 form.
Yeah.
And to me, it basically solidified the sitcom world.
Yep.
Because you had that, I mean, we can go through a zillion of them, of all of the shows that resemble it. I'm not saying they're ripping it off, but it's all stemmed and influenced from that. From the husband, the wife, the wacky neighbor, you know, and that, and like they said, that was the first show that really showed, because in that time period, it was like Father Knows Best and that kind of, and everything was White Picket Fence.
Yeah.
And it was all like Leave It to Beaver. And well, not Leave It to Beaver wasn't there yet.
Yeah, but it was like that very wholesome type thing where they're not, you know, you're not.
And Gleason turned it on its head.
Yeah.
And they said that's what people, that's why people gravitated towards it because they were like, this is, and of course, an exaggerated version, but this is what real life is.
Yeah.
There's strife, there's jealousy, there's anger, there's frustration, but above all of it, and the underlining fact was that they loved each other. And that's what made it so great. And I think that's why we all can sit here and go,
we're all going. We're
we're all going. Isn't it amazing? And listen,
just a word triggers a line.
It's just, that 70th anniversary thing is such a monumental thing.
Just think about it. It's
70 years.
70 years. 70 years. It's, you know, it's just, that's unheard of.
It really is. I mean, if you think about it, the only other shows that old that are, like we said, it's Lucy.
That's it. That's continuously on.
Yeah.
You'll see other things on.
Oh, yeah. And some great shows. Like, you love Car 54.
Oh, love it. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? Whenever I see a Car 54 episode, I always think of you and how you always said how groundbreaking they were with the characters that they put on there.
Yes.
Those Nipsey Russell.
So, yeah.
Having black characters on there as main characters.
Yep.
And you always said it had a very Borscht Belt type of humor
Matt
to
Hyken.
It.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Is that who the producer was?
Yes.
So it had that like that Borscht Belt, you know, clever Jewish type of
humor. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just, and of course that was afterwards, but it just, it goes to show how rare this is.
You know what's so funny about that is that when you want to correlate the Honeymooners and Car 54, here you have two things taking place in New York City. The Honeymooners are in Brooklyn. They're in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And it was actually filmed there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was filmed there. So, and Honeymooners was filmed in CBS Studios in Manhattan.
Manhattan, right.
So, but they were very New York shows.
Yes.
And that's what gave them that essence of that reality.
Yeah, because I guess even back then, New York was known as, like, you know, that's the place to be.
Yeah.
And people are real.
Yep.
I mean, we still get that. You know, they always say, you know, the Northeast, Jersey, New York, Boston, Philly. They always say the best comics come from this area.
Right.
Me not included, obviously. But but because we seem to be the most real people. And I think that's what you're saying is that they made real life situations,
yep.
not just situations, but no.
real life situations. Of course, comedic. They're comedies.
Of course. You gotta there's an exaggeration.
It. Right. There's always an exaggeration. You got to stretch it out.
Absolutely.
You got to stretch the soup.
Stretch the soup. We talked about that. What a great combination of words. Stretch the soup. But yeah, so that was a big thing. And I'm glad we got to at least make the video and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Gary Lynn Clevenger, him and his buddy Nick, they wrote this script called The Second Plateau, which was like an homage continuation of it. And, you know, Gary was like, just so like, are you guys going to be able to do a show by the first? And we really wanted to.
We could.
We just,
I mean, it just, we feel bad about it, but, you know, we had no choice. No control
it's
over
just,
it.
So. It's just the way it was.
Yeah.
And the way things were, then you were
only
there.
You are there.
You only you are there. So, we want to thank you guys for sticking with us.
Yeah.
And this will be the beginning of a lot of really, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
We're already going to be having we already have another show planned.
Yep.
With a few of the usual lunatics.
Yes, with the executive committee.
Executive committee. I love that phrase. I really do. It's so fantastic. Oh, there is a timer. Oh, okay. It shows how long we've been recording. I didn't even on this little widget here.
It's
very cool little thing.
I'm not used to it.
So what do you want to get into?
Joe, when I was
I still love Stretch the Soup, by the way.
Oh, Stretch the Soup is great. I don't know why I was looking for it. I was on the Safety Award. I was watching the Safety Award.
Okay.
And I heard Norton say something that I never heard before.
Really?
He calls, you know, when they're out in front of the house and blah, 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 doing their things and the accident and all that. Norton calls it the Safety Award Dinner.
What?
The Safety Award Dinner.
Wait, when does he say
that? When they're in front of the house, when they're walking away or something like that.
Okay.
He wants to drive for him on the way to the Safety Award Dinner. You go, I think he says it like that.
Okay.
Huh. You get it up on
screen? Oh, yeah, I think we can. This is the cool thing.
The Safety Award Dinner, I never heard that.
Oh, I'm a dummy. I thought it was I went to the Bill Davis one.
Bill Davis.
So, what's it? The Safety Award,
Safety
right?
Safety Award, yeah.
Oh, the only thing is they're not labeled on here. It's just number.
Oh, we're not going to find a number to Safety Award.
Hold on. I can... So what were you doing while this is called stalling.
Yeah, stalling. Well, while we're stalling...
You said he was doing it when they were in front?
In front of the house. When they're in front of the house.
Like waiting?
Yeah, waiting for when Ralph goes, drives away with the car. Give me the keys and I'll drive. You're all nervous.
Okay.
And he says something about the Safety Award Dinner. I'm like, wow.
Safety Award dinner?
Like dinner? Where'd that come from?
Yeah. I don't remember that. I don't even know why. There we go. 34. Okay. Right there. 34. The Safety Award Dinner. Now they're downstairs.
Okay, downstairs,
right? Here we go.
Just played it.
Everybody's plotting against me. We're late.
All right, Ralph. Just go and bring the car around while we wait for Trixie. That'll save time.
Yeah, I'll hurry.
Don't worry. Get your hair fixed.
I know how she hurries.
Give me
the keys. I'll go get the car for you.
What do you mean, give you the keys?
So when he...
I'll get the car for you. Okay. You're driving to the Safe Award Dinner. You're a little nervous and you're upset.
Boom!
Oh, there it is.
Boom! Safe Award Dinner! Wow! Dude, that might be a flub?
It probably is.
Right?
Why would they write that in?
The safety
He says Safe Award.
Safe Award
Dinner.
Safe. Safe Award Dinner. That might be the name of this episode. Safe Award.
Good, we got that out of the way.
Dinner. Yeah, really good. I can get out of here as soon as we're done.
Yeah, at least we don't have to think.
That's interesting. The Safe Award Dinner. Now, obviously, we all know what he was meant to say.
Yeah.
The presentation
or whatever.
But
safety award ceremony or safe award ceremony.
Ceremony.
Yeah, because
the safety award ceremony.
It was a ceremony.
Absolutely, yeah. Safe award dinner.
I'm like, what? I'm like, listen. What? Don't you catch things? It's like, what did you just say? and you go back and yeah,
that
there
is
it was.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's just that is the essence of who we all have become.
Yeah.
This right here,
yeah.
This encapsulates everything.
Yeah.
Is that this encapsulates everything?
Everything.
You were just watching.
Watching it for, and I don't even know reason why I was watching. I was watching it for a reason,
for something else,
and now I forgot totally what I was watching.
And it didn't matter because found this.
I found that
Safe
Award
dinner. That's just...
I know what I was watching.
Let me get the car. I'll show...
Sorry.
Go. It's okay. I know why I was watching it. When you and me were discussing the thing with the jackets.
Oh, okay.
We could talk about that. We'll talk about that. Maybe we're on it. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone the other night with Michael Bruce, and I told it to him. I said, well, this is what me and Joe were talking about. And he says, oh, my God. He goes, you got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. It's funny, you know, with the two dresses.
Of course.
And then, of course, you get the turn. And
yeah. And then the men are actually worse, behave worse than the women. Right.
And the thing about it is, like, I don't think anybody was expecting it when the first time you saw it. People in the audience weren't expecting
no way.
The Ralph and Ed coming out with the jacket.
No. It's brilliant.
Now, here's the deal. This is what I thought. Ralph has his tie, and he says to Alice, are you sure this is going to match my new sport jacket?
Okay.
And she says to him, Ralph, if I didn't, I wouldn't have picked it out. Okay, so now she knows what the new sport jacket looks like.
Gotcha.
So now when Ed comes down, first he comes down in just his shirt because that's the setting up the whole thing.
Yeah,
and we understand why he's got the shirt.
Of course.
Yeah, okay, so it's funny. Comes down with his sport jacket on, the new sport jacket, and Alice says to him, you look sharp. Now.
Wow. Because I was about to say, well, listen, she probably didn't even pay attention because she was nervous. She went out of her way to say, you look sharp.
You look sharp.
Yeah. How do you not know
that's the same jacket that Ralph had? Now, I meant Norton has to build for that particular type of garment, but.
Particular type of garment.
And it looks different on him. But I thought it. I said, wait a minute. She saw this jacket.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Like, it would have been funnier like, if she came down and she gave, like, one of those looks, like, you know, wide open, mouth open, wide-eyed and mouth open.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no. And
yeah,
then Ralph could have walked into the room at that point.
Right. Exactly.
And then, would have, you know, and it all breaks loose.
Like, normal. Yeah. Exactly.
But that was, I thought of that. I said, wait a minute.
That is
she knows
interesting.
What the jacket looks like.
Oh, she knows.
Oh, she knows. She's another one who knows. Yeah. Like Rob Land. She knows.
She knows.
And Charles Boss Larry.
He knows. That is very interesting.
Very interesting.
I love when he says the second very. That's very, very interesting. I know I'm not doing a good Marshall, but I just love the way he says that. That is cool. The Safe Award
dinner. And the jacket. Both in the same episode.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I wanted to just bring up something I just thought of the other day.
We're still unscripted, unrehearsed.
I know.
So you can throw anything you want.
You know what? I want to play it. It's from Unconventional Behavior.
Okay.
We might as well tinker right with this. That's 33.
Yeah.
And it was something that Ralph says, and we all know what he says. It's not like it's a. Let me just go like this. And
make it like this.
Make it like this. Okay. So now it's when Ralph brings home all of the gags for.
Yeah. Oh, in the bag. Yeah. Okay.
In the bag. Okay. So.
Oh, hey, look at Dave. Hey, wait a minute. Let me see that. Oh, I'd like to borrow one of these. No, I'll borrow this one here.
Funny.
See, because I want to wear it. Well, I want to wear it down the sewer tomorrow, you know, just for laughs. That one looks just.
Do you hear
like
this? I just noticed. He goes, "Why that one?
Why that?"
Like he was almost like Gleason was kind of helping Carney along,
yeah,
just to give it a little bit more. Like why,
yeah,
that,
why that
one?
Yeah, like why
just,
are you choosing and putting one,
right,
take one and
just
put
to,
it back?
Just to like give the audience a little bit more like info. Like why that one?
But he still has to say it because Norton tells him why, because the other one looked too much like his boss.
Exactly, you know, so, right. Yeah. So it's almost like, yeah, it didn't have to be said, but it was, yeah, it was. I just noticed that. But all right, this
boss
is the
boss, and he'll get his feelings hurt. You think I'm making fun of him?
It's just kind of funny. Here it is.
Here's a fake box of candy.
No, not this one. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
You know, you say have a piece of candy to someone. Yeah. They grab the box and get a load of that.
I think he hit his nose.
Kind of subtle. I don't think they'll get it.
This is kind of funny.
Out of there, don't they? Pick those up.
Here we go.
And here is the pièce de résistance.
The pièce de résistance. Again, what is a bus driver saying pièce de résistance? Like, what is that? I don't even know what that means.
The piece of resistance.
But what does that mean?
It's like this is the topper of
but
all.
But that's what I'm thinking, like the creme de la creme.
Yeah, the creme de la creme.
But,
yeah.
But why is a bus driver saying that?
Because
it's Ralph Cramden. And I was thinking of it, and I just said, it's hilarious that they, and we saw it with the Ed Norton character, yeah, a zillion times. Mm-hmm. The bod. You know?
Oh, he's quoting Dickens and this one. Yeah, like, you're like, where are these coming out of Ed Norton?
Out of these blue
Speaking
collar.
Of the Into the 600, yeah, the Valley of Death Road, the 600.
Yeah, all of those things. Yeah. And this was the one time where the Ralph Cramden character played out of character, yeah, by saying the pièce de résistance. Like, what bus driver from Brooklyn says that? And I think it just went, exactly. It just showed how smart these writers were.
Oh,
to be able to interject just a little bit, yeah, without it looking like, these guys don't talk like that. They were still the regular guys, the street guys, the regular Joes.
Yeah.
But then once in a while, you get the Ralph Cramden going, the pièce de résistance. And I just thought it was just funny. Wow. Like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But that was like the one time that he really does that in the 39.
Yeah, because Norton does it all the time.
All the time. Which goes to that thing where Norton really was the smarter guy.
Yeah.
He was always had the insight.
Yeah.
You know? Like the Ignatowskis,
yes,
you know, those
you don't
characters.
How smart they are.
Yeah,
until
the coaches,
yep,
you know, and again, all stem from Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, yep.
Put my glasses on.
Checking the legs now.
Yes.
He's evaluating all my antiques down here. Free of charge.
Free of charge. Oh, my goodness. You can't
Michael
even,
Bruce.
You can't even get Michael Bruce going with that. You can't. You know what? I might want to do this. This Jason Bullitt. You know Jason Bullitt?
No.
He's a listener.
Oh, okay.
And I think this is a, if I'm not mistaken, this is a here's an item. So we might as well do a little.
Oh, here's an item,
sure, right? Hang on.
We like our intros.
Everything's a little slower. here's an item.
We're not as organized as we usually are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because they can't even tell the difference, right?
I don't know. They're like, you guys were off some 4 months.
I don't see the here's an item. Why not? SFX. I don't know why that says that. I don't know, but I'm not getting the here's an item thing. I don't know why. Working files, that's not working. I don't know. But let me just try one more time. If there has to, here's an item has to be here. You know what's funny? I was going through this when I was looking at the folders at the house. Do you know we need to do this? You remember the Revisited?
Oh, yeah, Revisited.
We got to bring that back.
Well, of course we got to bring it back.
We're
running out of material. We better start revisiting something.
Yeah, we're going to start revisiting a lot of things. A lot of things. Unless there's one more thing I need to check. Working files, uploads. I don't know. All right. It's a Here's an item. But let me see. This is Jason Bullitt. Greetings, gents. Here's an item. I don't know if there's any crossover between my fellow raccoons and fans of the old-time radio. So I was surprised to find out that John Gibson appeared on The Honeymooners at least once, who played Bob Stanley.
Bob Stanley.
Yeah. I don't know what episode the picture's from. It's from... here comes... Oh, no. This is when he's playing in The Golfer downstairs, when he's dressed in the overalls.
Oh, he's just Pete. He's Pete.
Yeah, he's Pete. Some members of Facebook group have said this episode where Ralph learns how to play golf, but Gibson is famous in old-time radio circles as Ethelbert, the bartender and proprietor of the Blue Note on Casey's Crime Photographer, which I guess there's some sort of correlation. I had never heard of it before. No. Maybe somebody could tell us, but he just said, you know what? Thanks to both of you for the entertainments and the laughs you've been providing me for the last year and a half.
Well,
I would say more, but I have to go. I don't want to be late for the middleweight fight between McHenry and Slugger Simpson at the Ridgewood Auditorium. My money's on Slugger. RX, Jason Bullitt. Yeah, it's like it was definitely something I was kind of like interested in if anybody knew what that character was that he was talking about, Ethelbert. But again, he found these people and just said, "I'm gonna give you a job."
Yeah, like because well, he's in how many? Three.
Yeah, and I think he was in a bunch. In the Lost.
In the Lost, he pops up.
I think
he pops up a bunch of different times.
But yeah, he was. I tell you, we always say how perfect he was as Stanley.
Oh, he's the perfect Stanley. Oh. Mousy. Oh, I mean, couldn't get any mousier than that. Yeah. Darling one.
Didn't say Darling one. Did somebody say they wanted to see Bob Stanley and Twinkles
fighting
in a ring? Be a slap fight. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but Twinkles got Rita. He got Agnes.
Yeah, I know. God, wow, talk about the crap end of the stick. Short end of the stick. Well, I don't know if there's...
Want to do a twos?
Oh.
And I know you don't, but we're going to try one. No, why? Because there's a reason behind this one.
It's
so funny with this one.
Okay, cool. Let me get the... Yeah, I got the twos.
Dave Ingram again.
I get to hear Dave Ingram again. I missed
on the new system.
The Honeymooners podcast now presents, to Joe Conte's dismay and abject horror, the Ron Albanese Twos Theory.
No one would have a need for two of those.
No.
Oh.
I love when he goes, no.
No. Oh. Cool, you got a twos theory. All right.
I talked to you the other day about this twos theory. Remember the one about the Gilded Age, the 400, and the
vampire? Yes!
I'm online this morning. I figured out how to get online. Right. And who posts our good friend and full-grown nut of the week, Gary.
Okay.
Pernaccio, now known as Gary Prego.
Gary Prego, yeah, right.
Because anybody who's gone to Italy knows that you have to know one word in Italy. Prego.
Prego.
Means everything. Everything.
So means everything.
Everything. So to make it easy on everybody, he changed his name to Gary Prego.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
He posts this morning the same thing that we were talking about the other day, the Gilded Age twos.
Really?
He posted it.
Oh, wow.
And I went right on and replied. I said, Gary, I can't believe you're doing this. Me and Joe discussed this the other day.
Yeah, so, because I didn't know anything about the Gilded Age.
So talk about the Gilded Age twos.
Gotcha.
We have... Norton says to Ralph, you know, congratulations, one of the 400. As a matter of fact, you can be all the 400.
All the 400, right.
So what is the 400? Yep. It's during the Gilded Age. It was the 400 top families, you know, the socialites. Okay? Yeah. So
those really big, hardworking
really
people.
Hard people. You know, just having nothing to do, just getting together all the time. And if you got on Mrs. Astor's list, you were part of the... Because supposedly, the story goes that her ballroom fit like 400 people. This is their own personal ballroom.
Okay.
In their house fit like 400 people. So if you were one of the 400 invited, you were part of the
400.
So you were part of the 400 socialites in New York.
Gotcha.
Okay. Then, of course, the famous line, get a load of Mrs. Vanderbilt. who was part of the Gilded Age.
Part of the Gilded
Vanderbilt.
Age. Wow.
So that's the Gilded Age twos.
So he...
Gary wrote the whole thing.
The same thing.
Same thing. Same thing. Find it online and just jump on it. Yeah, picked up on it.
What a great...
I can't believe Gary, and I wrote him right back. I said, oh my God, I can't believe we were talking about this the other day.
That is just great.
That's why I mentioned it today in the twos.
It's perfect.
We got in the twos, and we'll save our other twos for when the other nuts are here.
Oh, yeah.
We have a ton of them.
Oh, God. I think that might be... It'll probably be a two-hour show.
So of twos.
Of twos.
Yes, twos of twos times twos.
Because you guys, I don't know if you guys know, but there is a thread with Louis, me, Ron, Michael, and Steven. And Louis, what Louis does, I guess, after he has his morning coffee, he just types in a line. And then it's just go
all day.
And it's all day long. And it goes from, you know, just, you know, you could be part of, you could be all the 400. And then it just becomes this thing. And it is just hilarious. And now, Ron, and we all know how much I hate the twos thing, jokingly. But then Ron, in the thing, in the text thread, somebody brought up something, and there was three of something.
Right.
And Ron goes, hey, this could be part of the two or more theory. I'm like, hey, Ron, that's everything but one and two. So knock it off.
Two is enough.
It's a two or more theory.
Like, okay, what the?
I know Ron just does it just to egg me on, but it was hilarious. Like, the twos or more theory, that's every other number.
Infinity, the twos to infinity theory.
It's just fantastic.
Boy.
Oh, my goodness. So is there anything else that you want to do before?
No, we have no trivia today. So
okay, trivia. No trivia.
Would I just say trivia?
Did you say trivia?
When we play.
I'm on that medication. Oh, trivia. Okay. Yeah. For blood pressure. Trivia. Try trivia. Yeah.
I saw the commercial last night.
It was a bunch of middle-aged people dancing around a fountain. It was great. It was
great. Oh yeah. Like
I'm
going to
try that medication.
Like every other med. Who's everybody who's dancing in med commercials? Where does that come from?
You know where it came from? My friend used to do a hilarious joke about that years ago, because it started with the medication for herpes.
Okay.
I think it was called Valtrex.
Okay.
And the commercial, it just showed people hiking, dancing, and it was all, and they were like playing tennis and like rock climbing. It's like, so do I have to get herpes to like do all these things?
Fun?
And I'm telling you, that's where it's all stemming from, because it's all about like, hey, listen, this is a drug to help somebody, but let's just have them all dancing around, having a good time.
Like, so they can forget about their ailment.
Exactly. I just want to go to one of those sets and look at them and go, I don't dance like this. Louis doesn't dance like this. My grandmother never danced like this. Oh, my goodness.
So that's it. I have no trivia.
Okay.
Because we're just going to wrap this up. This is really a test run. It was our test run.
I definitely think so.
We'll see how it sounds.
Now, I want to make sure. Okay, so let's see. Because we're doing this, we're actually going to be doing like... Because a lot of times it would be all just me doing all this editing afterwards. But now, since we're like right here, we're going to just play like the outro. And we'll just do the whole thing,
you know?
And let me see if it's too loud. Lower this a little bit.
There you go.
Cool. So that is it, everybody.
That's it. It's a wrap.
Episode 142. I was kind of getting back in the groove.
Yeah.
Thank you to Silk City Hot Sauce, everybody who listens, emails us, comments on Facebook, and all you full-grown nuts, fraternity members, and future fraternity members. Share episodes of our YouTube videos with friends on your social media, or share directly with your pals in the sewer or at the bus depot. And if you want to follow me on all my social media platforms, you can just go to Linktree and put in Joe Conti. I put up videos every single day. It's all politics and religion. Obviously, I'm joking. It's none of that. It's just all silly stuff. So if you want to check out my stuff. And that's it. Episode 142 in the books. For Joe Conti and my pal Louis Fetz, I say we'll see you next time.
E pluribus raccoonum. Night, all.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We'll have to do this again real soon.
Yeah. How about tomorrow night?
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.